Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, welcome to season 3 of My First Time, a mostly sexy sex podcast from Broadly. My name is Xing Xing.
Well, I had tried to, I guess you would say, have sex with Rainbow Birch in whatever way a child can have sex with a tree or human can have sex with a tree.
Today on My First Time. Have you ever been spanked by a tree branch?
Hi, my name is Genevieve, and I'm going to talk about my first romantic, sensual relationship with a tree.
Isn't it wonderful walking into your favorite natural spot, hiking across the Grand Canyon, rambling through the Lake District, or sailing across to a Greek island? It's so easy to fall in love with the great outdoors. But what happens if your love for nature turns into a genuine romance? Our guest today, Genevieve Bellevaux, describes herself as an ecosexual, or more specifically, an eco-fetishist. Genevieve grew up in Minnesota. She had a regular childhood, and it was totally dull. Her love of the countryside started when she was young. This is her story.
I grew up in the woods of Minnesota, of northern Minnesota. So it was like a 30-minute drive to sort of get anywhere. So I spent a lot of my like summers as a kid with nothing to do but be in the woods. We had, you know, two stations on the TV, so I didn't spend a lot of time watching TV. I kind of just was left to my own devices and my own imagination. And my parents have these acres of swamp land that I spent a lot of time exploring. And playing pretend on and imagining and trying not to, you know, go insane being bored as a child. My mom is like a naturalist and an environmental educator is a big part of her background. And then my dad spent a lot of time taking us on walks and trying to get us to just like be still in the woods and like sit and listen to the trees. Stuff that I really didn't understand as a kid. But today I'm very, very grateful that I had those experiences.
For Genevieve, there was a particular part of the woods, a tree that stood out from all the rest.
There's this little patch of land. It was the driveway that led up to our house, a little patch of land that I kind of just fell in love with. And I named it Fern Gully after the famous Don Bluth cartoon about rainforest deforestation. Really mossy, like covered in ferns. Like I think if it was like a really wet season, there'd even be like a tiny little stream running through it. Just like this very magical place. And there's this tree that was kind of up on this. It almost looked like there had been another tree there that had fallen over at some point, rotted, a bunch of moss had grown up around it, and then another tree had grown out of it, which happens kind of like when you like trim a plant and then another shoot comes out. So this was this tree that had come out of like a much older tree, like this new shoot. It was a birch tree. I don't know exactly what kind of birch, but it had like when you peeled the bark back, like a rainbow, like a pastel rainbow color to its bark. And it was just like entrancing as a child to find this rainbow colored tree. I fell in love with this tree and I just liked to visit it. I liked to be around it and spend time with it. It was almost like being in love with like a friend or something, you know, like a childhood friend who just felt like affection and care for. I actually remember introducing Rainbow Birch to one of my childhood friends who lived down the road, being like, this is this amazing tree. And I think we carved or tried to carve our initials in it together. Like it was something I just really wanted to share with this other person who I loved and like show and I was it was that a throuple? Was I in a throuple with a tree and my best friend? I don't know now.
Oh, and by the way, a throuple is basically a three-way relationship.
I just felt like a deep affection and care and, I guess, in a sense, like reverence for this tree. It's something that was just very, like, intangible feeling of love for this particular tree. I think there were other trees in the woods that I had, like, I was drawn to, I had, like, an affinity for, but this one was just, like, I mean, it had a rainbow bark. I was like, what is this thing, you know?
Listening to Genevieve, the idea of falling in love with a tree is not something that I've ever come across before. I mean, I get it. People feel an affinity with non-human objects and beings all the time. Think of all the guys who name their cars.
Well, I had tried to, I guess you would say, have sex with rainbow birch in whatever way a child can have sex with a tree or human can have sex with a tree. And I mean, at that point in my sexuality as a child, I was already having orgasms, and I was having orgasms by rubbing myself on other objects. Like, I had a four-poster bed, like a canopy bed, and that was like my go-to orgasmic sex toy was this four-poster bed that I had, and it worked. And I was about it, and I met this tree, and I had these feelings for this tree, and I thought, what if I like rub on this tree? Will that create the same thing? I guess like that sexual urge came almost from just like knowing that I could have this really good feeling. This thing is like a very similar setup to the other thing that allows me to be orgasmic. And so I tried that with rainbow birch. I remember feeling a kind of shame when I did that afterwards. And I don't know if it was a shame of like doing something to someone that I thought of as like is a living entity, like without its consent, you know? Like looking back on it, I'm like, why did I feel so ashamed of that? Maybe part of me was like afraid someone was watching. I mean, I was like raised Christian, so maybe there was like a fear of like something was watching me do the bad thing. Whatever it was, I remember trying that with rainbow birch and like kissing her and hugging her and rubbing on her.
In many ways, getting off with a plant is something that isn't too difficult to get your head around. Just look at a Georgia O'Keeffe painting. But for our guest Genevieve, her relationship with rainbow birch was about more than just sex.
There was something very like special and unique about me and this particular tree, and whatever that relationship was, I don't think that's like ever been mimicked in my lifetime. But what I have discovered is a sensuality and interplay between myself and plants, and recognizing their being and their consciousness, and like recognizing that there's a relationship between us if I want there to be, and a relationship that can encompass all of the things that happen in human relationships if I want there to be. But of course, like the one component that's missing, and I think this is really vital, where's consent in all of that? Because I can have these feelings and urges and desires to use plants or interact with plants in a certain way, but are they giving consent, and are they agreeing to be a part of that exchange? That's, I think, a big like question mark for me.
When Genevieve grew up, she left rainbow birch behind. And like all hometown relationships, revisiting them when you're back in town brings a new set of complications.
Years later, I was back at my parents' house over Christmas, and I was creating some video art in the woods, just kind of doing these different videos. And one of the ones I was trying to create was tapping rainbow birch, which by tapping, I mean, my parents have a maple syrup grove on their land where you can tap the trees and gather the sap and then create maple syrup from it. And I wanted to create a video of tapping rainbow birch and having all of this kind of like glittery goo come out. So I was trying to create this video. It was really cold out, so I didn't have a lot of patience. Like, it was extremely cold out, so I didn't have a lot of patience to sit there and try to like properly tap this plastic tap into rainbow birch. And I was sort of rushed and like hurried about it, and I couldn't really get the video. I didn't get it how I wanted. And then I just ended with this like huge gash, like a huge wound in the tree that I like loved so much. And I was devastated by my own behavior. I was like, why did I do that? Just to get like a video to feel good about my art and show people. It was just like a real ethical conflict I was having about going back to this tree that I loved, and as an adult just being like, and now I'm gonna tap you. Like, it felt very bad. It felt very, like, rapey and yucky, and I felt pretty guilty about it. Which I know sounds probably crazy, because it's like, look, it's a tree. Like, we do cut trees down all the time, whatever. But this is, like, a tree that holds symbolic significance in my development as, like, a child, as an adult, and also just, like, metaphorically in, like, the work that I'm doing. Like, this idea of tapping and using and, like, molding and shaping and squeezing nature to get what you want out of it. It was something that, like, really didn't sit well with me.
Winding forwards a bit, Genevieve's sexuality is pretty much informed by her first-time experience with rainbow birch. By the way, according to Amanda Morgan from the UNLV School of Community Health Sciences, ecosexuality is a pretty broad church. It includes anything from using sustainable sex products to masturbating under a waterfall.
Ecosexuality has, like, become a part of my adult sexuality. And for me, that means sort of getting, I don't know if turned on is the word, but let's say turned on in, like, the hippie sense, like getting, like, excited about, jazzed, and, like, intellectually or emotionally, spiritually excited about this idea of incorporating plants or the aesthetics of plants into my sex life. And kind of, like, going through the, like, the intellectual mathematics to get there, to take all of these, like, BDSM concepts, kinks, tools, and then find a way to sort of flip the script on them and make them something that exists in nature. That to me is, like, sort of how it's expressed, best expressed for me now. Like, an example is, like, if I was to do a BDSM scene in the eco-fetishist style, it's kind of about just, like, code switching every little part of that scene. And instead of using slave, which is like a word I guess I would never use in BDSM personally for myself, I'll say sapling. And instead of being the master, I'm the gardener or the master gardener. And that just, like, that in itself, like, changes the entire dynamic of what a BDSM scene is about, can look like, what it means, and how it plays out. So if I have my sapling and I'm going to plant them in the soil, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to tend them. I'm going to prune them when pruning needs to happen. And I'm going to tie them to a stake if they need to stay up or whatever. There's just, it's kind of just like flipping the whole narrative to just, like, work around this idea of how does a plant exist? How do you take care of a plant? What does it mean to manipulate and mold a plant? And how would that play out if you were pretending to be a plant with a partner? That's how eco-fetishism is taking shape in my mind.
Genevieve has taken her love of nature to another level and really used it to experiment with her sexuality. She's even coined the term sacred sadism as a way to define her and her husband's approach to sex and BDSM. And it's also the name of their sex toy line.
I have found that for my own sexuality, finding sacred sadism as an inroad to BDSM has, like, greatly influenced my sexuality. It's made my sex life better. I've been able to explore and embody roles and positions. I don't mean sexual positions, not like Kama Sutra, just like roles in sex that I had wanted to explore for so long, but had found no other way except now through BDSM. And an honesty and openness, communication styles that I'd never found in any other partnerships that I found through my partnership with my husband, who I'm in a BDSM relationship with, and have just been able to, like, because of sacred sadism, find my way to a sexuality that's so much more open and expansive than I ever had before. Trying to create this world of eco-fetishism or sacred sadism is, like, how can we invent something new? It's so familiar, but it's so fresh at the same time. Like, everyone has had an experience with a plant in their lifetime, I'm going to assume, you know? Everyone can relate to this idea of a plant. And maybe not everyone's taking care of a plant, but you get it, it's a plant. And then that's a concept that I think is not that loaded for that many people. There's a deep potential for healing and growth and consciousness expansion in BDSM, but I felt like what exists, yeah, it has too many codified meanings, and I needed to create something that was a little fresher, or the meanings, I don't know, just made sense for me. And for me, this idea of sort of, like, imposing upon or interacting with and being interdependent with nature makes so much more sense, and it hits, like, such a deeper place to me personally than other types of BDSM play have or can. Also, I want to say the thing about leather, goth, whatever the BDSM that exists, that's a genuine sexuality to those people and the people who embrace it. And I'm not knocking that at all. I'm just talking about finding what works for you and embodying it to the best of your ability and to the extent that you feel comfortable, you know?
It's nice to hear from a guest who had such a life-defining first-time experience. Ecosexuality is a new idea for most of us, but actually it makes a lot of sense. If the Earth is in crisis, maybe it would help if we started treating it more like a romantic partner rather than our playground. And that starts with respecting its boundaries. For our guest Genevieve, her first time really was just the beginning.
I think looking back to Rainbow Birch, I feel so grateful that I had that experience because I think an experience like that meant that later when I saw that term ecosexual, something clicked in me when it said people who like to have sex with trees. And I was able to be like, oh, I relate to that. I had that experience. Huh, maybe there's something here, you know? I think the thing that I think the most about is that mix of guilt and shame of the lack of consent that was there. And it's something that I still think a lot about. Is when I think about eco-fetishism, I think about play between consenting adults. And when I think about ecosexuality, I think about play between a human being and another life form, and neither of them speak exactly the same language, so there's no consent there. And I guess to me, that is perhaps another example of humans asserting their dominance over nature, when I really believe it's an interdependent system. And I'm not saying it's bad to, like, you know, go roll in the grass. The grass doesn't mind that you, like, roll in the grass. But I think that there's something, like, to examine there, too, of just, like, being aware of the way that we affect our surroundings and how much dominance or control are you trying to assert over natural life and other living beings. Like, I don't think it's bad that I humped that tree, you know, or I do still feel like sad that I tapped the tree and made it gouge this big hole in it or whatever. But at the end of the day, that's also like a dynamic being that knows how to heal itself and keep going. And it's like not a big deal, probably, at the end of the day. I guess that's like the little difference that I see between like my ecosexual experience with the tree and what I'm doing now with eco-fetishism is I'm like embodying an experience with other consenting, sentient human beings who can say, yes, I really want this, or no, I really don't. And I guess I just feel a little better about that, I would say, for myself.
Thanks for listening to My First Time, a podcast from Broadly. My name is Xing Xing, and I'm the UK editor at Broadly. This episode was produced by Sam Bonham. If you're into what we're doing, please rate and subscribe on wherever you get your podcasts. Oh, and be sure to check out the article on Broadly featuring Genevieve. See you next week for episode 2.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.